Ryan, thanks. You know, it's never the same without Steve Bertrand, Wendy. But if somebody's going to fill in, you can't quibble with Ryan Burrow.
Well, you thank
can't. You can't quibble with you.
We quibble with him every once in a while.
You can quibble with him.
Quibble.
But
quibbling.
Will it pay off? I don't think it will.
No.
Ryan's a good quibbler.
Happy Prince Spaghetti Day, by the way.
And to you and yours.
Thank you.
And to you and yours. I hope this is okay to talk about. If it isn't, we'll just give me your look, and I'll know something else. A little over a week ago, you came in on a Sunday. You and other women who work here at WGN Radio.
Mary. Vandeveld.
Our own Mary Vandeveld.
Judy Pilak. Kathy Hart was here working with Frank Fontana.
Right. And the subject was Botox treatments, and you all had injections.
Yes, we did.
All right. So I noticed almost immediately, but you said, let's not talk about this. You're supposed to wait a week until things settle in, right?
Yeah.
So now we're past a week.
It takes a full week for the effects to kick in.
Are you happy with the results?
I like that I have no wrinkles on my forehead. My eyebrows were lifted a little bit, not surgically, just injectionally.
How did they do that?
Well, basically what Botox is they...
Botulism.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's injected in various areas, and you're from the eyebrow up. You don't do it anywhere
Nothing
else on
below
the face.
Eyebrows.
Maybe the crow's feet on the side of your eyes. I don't really remember.
It's supposed to work for that, I think.
Yeah?
But it's not, you can't get really close to the eye. You can't do it for circles under your eyes. It's nowhere else on your face. But what it does is it paralyzes the nerve, basically.
Right.
So you don't, when you go to scrunch your face, as my almost 16-year-old son Dylan pointed out to me, this he calls me... kitty cat now.
He calls you kitty cat.
Because he says,
why?
I look a little cat-like. So every morning I go to wake him up and he goes, good morning, kitty cat.
Oh.
I go, this is getting old.
Oh.
And I said, I really look like a cat. And he said, only when you get mad.
Only when you cough up a furball.
When you scrunch your face, he goes, watch. He did that this morning. He goes, watch me. When I try to raise my eyebrows move. When you try, they don't move.
Wow.
And then he pauses. Wow. He looks. He's still looking at me and he goes, but if you like it, I'm cool with it.
Right. Well, that's diplomatic of him.
I like
Do
the no
like
wrinkle. I like the no wrinkles. I like that my eyebrows are defined now.
Yeah.
But I may not, I think I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm.
But I'm not going to do it as much. Like, I'm not going to get as many injections.
This is the second time in your life you've had this done.
One was like 15 years ago.
So they recommend you do it every 3 to 6 months. Is
it
that
depends.
About right?
It depends. It lasts longer in different people. And Mary, remember the Dr. Sherba said that for blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, sometimes it doesn't work. I don't know if it's because our skin is so fair, but it worked.
Yeah, it definitely worked on me.
And do you like
it? You're happy?
Well, like everybody says, you look different. You know, and then my sisters, I was with my sisters all weekend on a trip, and my sisters said, wow, they all noticed.
They liked it.
They all noticed. You're right about the eyebrows, so I'm having a hard time getting them to go up. But
you got to put up scaffolding and stuff.
I know, I need some toothpicks, because I couldn't put my eyeshadow on, because my eyelids were a little heavy.
And because I think you can't lift your eyebrow.
Right.
Because
it's paralyzed.
I had no trouble with my eyelids.
Well, am I going to be able to?
Eventually.
It wears off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But
like
anyway,
in days or weeks or when?
I do like it. I mean,
3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
My 11 is pretty much gone.
Yeah, and that's what I like, because I always had a furrowed brow. I always had resting bee face.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I have resting kitty cat face.
Good.
Every morning.
Progress.
Every morning, Dylan says to me, hey, kitty cat. I said, it's not funny anymore.
That's not funny.
You look good, Wendy.
I did notice there's a little bowl of milk in our office, though, that never used to be there. I don't
She's
know who brought
purring,
that in.
And thanks for emptying our litter box.
Oh, yeah, I did that. I was happy to do that for you. I would say, now, so it's just me seeing the results, you know, from 10 feet away. And Mary, I've seen you a couple times this week. And
Mary,
Judy,
you look great.
Judy, every day. Everyone looks more, take this for what I don't mean this in a bad way at all. You all look a lot more alert. Like, you're,
where's all the Stepford wives now?
Everybody's eyes are very wide open all the time.
Well, we're trying to practice our exercises too.
Is that what it is?
You know, that's why we're going, woo, woo.
Oh, all right.
I think, you know, sense. Now that I have it, I look at, you know, I have an HD TV now. I used to have a no def TV. Yeah. Now it's high def. And I look at all the anchors that are on TV.
They've had it done.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, I don't mind having a few wrinkles in my forehead.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, I honestly
not have that?
Don't
right.
really mind that, but I always looked like I was irritated, yeah. which I usually am, so yeah. I guess it kind of worked.
Makes sense, yeah. You don't want to be irritated and not look irritated. People will be confused.
Mary, what did your husband say?
He just, well, I don't know. He noticed it. He's like, yeah, whatever you want to do, you know. He loves me no matter what.
Aww.
No, I don't know. He never says that.
Are you guys getting looks from other cats? Are cats looking at you differently?
No, but my dog chased me yesterday, which was super
that
weird.
Never happened.
No.
Cats hate me. Maybe I should try to befriend one and see what happens. But, you know, I was in a boutique. We were in Florida. I'm in a boutique, and this lady in there, I could tell she was Botoxed. So we walk out, and I look at my sisters. I go, yeah, Botoxed. Yep, I can
really?
Tell. Really? Oh, it's so funny.
What's the telltale sign? Is it right? Just
no wrinkles?
That's
no
what
wrinkles
it is.
No wrinkles, and it's very smooth and shiny on her forehead and just, you know, around her eyes.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Bill is so gentle with his comments because...
I'm trying to be.
But you don't like it.
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's
I just look different.
Everyone looks very alert. And that sets a bad precedent because then I'd have to look alert and I don't want to look alert.
It's the first time I've looked alert in 25 years doing this shift. I'm like, wow.
Who can you tell? Is there a person on TV, I don't know if you want to go local, maybe national, who can you look at and go, well, look at that. You can tell.
Deborah Norville, for sure.
Oh, it's so funny you say that. I saw her yesterday on her show. What's her show that's on in the afternoon?
Inside Edition.
Inside
Is
Edition.
That hers?
She looks like she's in her 20s.
I know.
She looks, I don't know what she's doing, but whatever she's doing, she is Benjamin Buttoning. She's going backwards. She's going back in time. I knew it was Deborah Norville, but I went, that's like a 25-year-old Deborah Norville. What
yeah,
happened?
She looks amazing. But see, that's just it. And I don't need it because I'm on radio. But yeah. If you were on TV, I bet almost every anchor gets right. some kind of Botox. I'm not saying... I don't mind admitting that I got it. Somebody put, you know, fake. I bet you have a fake Christmas tree, too. I do.
Yeah. Artificial.
Artificial from Tree Time.
Yeah. Did Tree Time do your Botox?
No, but they should have like a little twofer deal.
My face smells like eggnog. I don't know why.
You know what's funny, though? It's when we look at pictures of celebrities, and I always say, oh, she's had some work done. I don't care,
right.
But I almost like wish they'd admit that they did.
Right.
I hate when people say, oh, no, I've had nothing done.
When you can tell they've
yeah.
had something done.
And I mean, it's tough being a woman, Bill. I mean, I know, women don't get roles when they start looking really old. Well, they get roles, but not TV roles or movie roles.
Cinnamon rolls.
But I, you know, I'll fully admit it. Full disclosure. Yeah, I did it. I think next time I would just worry about the in between my eyebrows and
right.
not so much on my forehead.
Are there different degrees? Like, could you say to the Botoxicologist, last time you did it at about an 8 or 9, let's do 6. Could you do that?
Yeah,
or,
I could just say I don't want as much as you did before.
Yeah.
Hopefully they kept track of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was... I had it before and loved it because it brightens up your face.
Sure.
That I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you never really gave a comment one way or the other. I said something like, "Can you tell?" And you're like, "Oh, I can tell."
But it's not for me. It's,
do I look younger?
You look younger and more alert. Everybody
well,
that, just,
so that's a win-win.
Everyone looks very alert now. So,
well, now
yeah.
you do too because you're trying to keep up with us.
I'm trying to, but my face won't play. So I don't know what to do.
You can control the muscles in your
I'm
face.
I'm trying to.
You know what's amazing, though, with Botox is they use it for people who are heavy sweaters who pit out on their shirts and stuff.
Where do they apply the Botox for that? By your arms?
The underarms, because
oh,
it paralyzes your sweat glands or something. And as someone who, when I was a teenager, I would... I would always wear dark colors because if I wore anything light,
it would show through.
Yeah, I mean, now it's not like that, but as a teenager, when your hormones are raging, don't pay her.
Well,
and they also use it. My dentist uses it for bruxism, which if you clench or grind your teeth, they can inject that mandibular muscle. Oh. So that's paralyzed, so you don't grind your teeth.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd like my underarms to look younger. That would be great. I get a lot of comments.
They look pretty good right
now. You're being nice. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy. Bill Lapp, it's Wendy Snyder. Today is Handsome Wednesday. We've got a bunch of guests coming on, and they're all handsome.
And you are, too. I was just blowing you stuff.
Thank you for that. Guess who's in the news, Wendy? America's favorite couple.
Let me guess
who would that be?
Is.
Who's America's favorite couple?
That would be...
Not the world's favorite couple, because that's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. That's the world's favorite couple. Who's America's favorite couple, would you say?
Wow, I don't know.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, America's favorite couple. Here's why they're in the news.
Per who?
Who
thinks they're...
Trubby Lundberg. The results just came in. All right, so they're in the news because somebody asked this question. This is an interesting question. Even if we had Kim Kardashian on the show, I wouldn't think to ask her this question, but this is an interesting question. They said, what does your husband Kanye West smell like? And she didn't even have to think about it. She said that he smells like a rich person.
I would guess Cheetos.
Cheetos? Would that be bad?
No.
To be married to somebody who smelled like Cheetos?
No,
I think that'd be great.
That would be my guess.
That'd be great. She said, I can't explain it, but he smells like a rich person. He smells like money. I don't know. He smells like what you think is really expensive, like Saint Laurent fragrance campaigns would be. She told this to The Cut while promoting her new body fragrances. I don't know what rich smells like.
You know what money smells like. If you ever went to an ATM, but you don't.
I do not.
You get those crisp 20s that pop out of the machine, and
they
if you smell...
They have an aroma?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't your wife ever give you a crisp $20 bill?
I usually get a used one.
She gives you the bad one, because she doesn't like it cluttering up her wallet.
She keeps the good ones to herself. I get the weather-worn 20s all the time. I didn't realize that it had its own particular
it has
aroma.
Smell.
That's interesting. If somebody said to your husband, Jimmy, what do you smell like? What would your answer be to that?
Action figures.
Action figures.
A little plasticky.
Well, he smells like action figures.
Oh, yes.
What do you smell like, do you think?
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
I would hope, you know, perfume.
Yeah.
Hairspray.
I know mine.
What?
Mr. Bubble.
That's a nice, clean smell.
I think it is.
Almost too proud. Clean.
And I don't get that, Wendy, from using Mr. Bubble. I just naturally smell like Mr. Bubble. Scientists are baffled. Nobody knows why.
There is a certain group of men, you and my husband included in this, and maybe others, that would actually wear a cologne that smelled
Mr. Bubble. I would wait in line for Mr. Bubble cologne. If they made such a thing, I'd get up early and wait in line to get some.
He was pretty cute, Mr. Bubble, wasn't he?
Yes.
What did he sound like?
I don't remember the exact sound of Mr. Bubble, but I know he's been sick.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to burst your bubble, but Mr. Bubble has been very sick of late. I hope he's okay.
Oh, I hope he's okay,
too. As of now, I hope he's okay. That's an interesting question to ask Kim Kardashian. I wonder what his answer would be about her. I imagine her to smell very perfumey. I imagine that whole family, like if you went to that house, all the different perfumes and colognes would just be so overpowering.
Yeah, I would imagine that too. Did you know that there was a Mr. Bubbles comic called Tub Tales?
No. Starring Mr. Bubble?
Yes.
No,
and
I didn't know that.
And who was Rosie?
Rosie Bubble?
Yes.
His gal pal.
That's weird.
As they say in Sneed.
1960. Were they spooling bubbles?
They were spooling bubbles.
Mr. Bubble was born in 1961.
Oh, wow.
We were right at the cusp of the beginning.
Yeah.
Introduced with the slogans, helps bubble you clean.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And eliminate bathtub ring.
Yeah.
And makes getting clean almost as much fun as getting dirty.
That was very provocative for 1961.
It was. In the late 60s, a new version of the character was introduced, with Mr. Bubble shown at home in a bathtub surrounded by overflowing bubbles.
Oh, nice.
He was so cute.
Now, if I remember it right, the Mr. Bubble we had, and I think everybody had, it was a pink box And then it was a powder.
Like
it was
flakes.
Granulated. Yeah.
Like laundry detergent flakes, kind of.
Right. But then when they reformulated it, it was a liquid, almost like, you know, when you put a bubble wand in and you blow bubbles.
Yes.
I think it was more like a liquid form later on, I think.
Yes, in 1972, the liquid bubble bath introduced, the powder was reformulated. That was 72.
Yeah.
And it's still out there, you know.
They still make Mr. Bubble? I didn't know that.
I'm pretty positive. I know Michael is 19, and he had Mr. Bubble baths.
The
kids love it.
Yeah.
Although I'm telling you, you don't get the bubbles that you think you're going to get. The commercial has like the whole bathroom is taken over with bubbles.
Why didn't Michael Bublé somehow get in on this?
Oh.
Why didn't he or his dad, Mr. Bublé, maybe in French-speaking parts of the world, they don't have our Mr. Bubble. They have Michael Bublé's father as Mr. Bubble. Mr. Bublé. Maybe. I don't know.
I like it. And he could promote the new fizzy bubble bombs that
by
they
Mr.
have.
By Mr. Bubble?
Yes.
I want that. Christmas hint. I want
All
that.
Right.
That's what I want.
I'll work on that.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's Handsome Wednesday. We got a bunch of guests. They're all very handsome. We'll talk to them next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and we have a guest in the studio who's on Chicago PD. New episode airs tonight, 9 p.m. We weren't sure how to say your name, John, so we looked it up on YouTube, and you know you've arrived when you can just how to pronounce John S-E-D-A, and here's what they had to say. You tell us if this is right or wrong. Here we go. Stand by.
John Seda.
John Seda?
It's right.
That's pretty good. Isn't that weird?
That's amazing.
That's
wow.
That's the ultimate sign that you're doing something right. Your computerized name is on the internet. Congratulations.
I've arrived.
Way better than an Emmy Award.
I like it.
Way better.
I like it.
Yeah.
Who's the person that like records that?
This was an Emma girl. This is her website, just Emma. EmmaSays.com.
Wow. Well, whatever Emma says is right.
Gotta be right.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We've talked to other actors from various Chicago shows. We've not met you before, so welcome aboard.
Well, thanks for having me. Nice to meet you guys.
You play Detective Antonio Dawson, and there's a situation that has developed with your character, something that's very prevalent now. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's a, you know, obviously, as you know, and there's a big opioid crisis going on, you know, and this is, it's something that a lot of people, they think it only affects a certain group of people, you know, it can't happen to me, it can't, you know, that kind of attitude, and it really, you know, has no boundary as to who it can affect. And, you know, in regards to Antonio Dawson on Chicago PD, you know, he's a guy that, you know, is always in control and
plays by the rules.
Yeah, plays by the rules and isn't looking to, you know, cross lines. And, you know, he's a tough guy, but, you know, he suffers an injury. And, you know, prescribed some opioids for his injury. And eventually what happens is, you know, the injury's kind of not really there anymore. And he's still kind of taking these opioids. He thinks he's in control of it. And, you know, it's a great way for us to show how even someone like Antonio, you know, you think you're in control of something like this and you quickly find yourself digging yourself into a big hole.
John, it's interesting they would give you and your character this particular dilemma because you know what this is like. You've been sort of through exactly this, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, fortunately for me, I didn't go that far, but, you know, I had an injury years ago and was prescribed some pain medication for it. And, you know, I found myself wanting to take more and more because I like that feeling. It's that magic feeling of you know, recovery, and it feels good. And and you know, I happened to, one night I felt something on my neck, and it was, my veins were raised on my neck, and what it was a blood clot
in your neck,
in my neck. And a doctor said, you know this is a result of the pain medication from over usage, and if you know this could, if that blood clot was in your heart, you would have had a heart attack. So, you know, this is serious. It's serious stuff, you know, and that set me straight. But, you know, there's a, you know, once you go, you start going down that path, it's a slippery slope.
That's what I love about all these Chicago shows, Med, PD, and Fire. They take real life problems and expose them. Many times when we talk about opioid addiction, there's still a lot of shame involved, and there shouldn't be. We have to say, you know what? I have a kid who's an addict. I need help. We've got to lose that stigma.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys are bringing this to the forefront, because we all have to talk about it.
That's right. You know, and that's the first thing. That's the first part. You have to talk about it and be willing to talk about it. Because like you said, there's a lot of shame involved. People are going, you know, they look themselves in the mirror and they don't want to admit that it's happening to them or happening to a loved one. And that's this is why it's a big part of our show to be able to do this, and it's really important.
Did the producers and the writers have any idea that you had battled sort of a similar thing, or is it a coincidence?
They didn't know, you know, which is it's just pretty amazing how it works out that way. But they do an incredible job of you know, putting us all together, because, you know, we have the cases going on and you know, these characters together in this unit, how does it affect the team, how does, you know, going down this path, you know, affects Antonio's judgment, and, you know, things happen where he puts his team at risk and even some family.
Mm-hmm. Are you ever able to suggest ideas to the writers of things that you think would make the character more realistic, more believable? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, they're really open to that. You know, they just do an incredible job. You know, if you have an idea for something, you know, they'll collaborate with you, and you can come up with different ideas and different things. But, you know, we have such an incredible group of producers and writers. You know, it's for me, it's a joy just to see what they come up with all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
It's heartbreaking with all the suicides coming up in the Chicago Police Department as well. And I'm wondering, is that something you guys might touch on?
Yeah, you know, this is a... this addiction.
It's becoming an epidemic.
Yeah. And it is, you know, amongst our law enforcement, you know, they deal with so many things on a day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis that you don't see reported in the news. And you know, with our show, you're able to go home with them and see what they deal with and how they try to do their job as best as they can and dealing with their life situations at the same time. So, you know, it is a struggle, and, you know, it's something that we really need to be aware of and try to get more help for everyone, and in particular, in this case, for our law enforcement.
When you run into actual Chicago police officers, what do they tell you? What are they liking about what you're doing? What are they saying? Do a little more of this, a little less of this.
Yeah, they give us... That's the best support you can get. When some police officer comes up to you and they just say, "Man, I love you on the show. You're doing such a great job." And, you know, look, it's TV, it's Hollywood. We try our best to represent them as well as we can. We have a great technical advisor in Brian Luch and Walt Smith, and these guys are there to make sure to answer every single question and make sure we're getting it done the right way. Because there's nothing more gratifying than knowing that the people that do this for a living support you.
Sure.
New episode happening tonight, and then the winter finale is coming up December 5th. Without giving things away, what do we have to look forward to that?
Well, tonight is a great, great episode directed by Christine Swanson. It's centered around LaRoyce Hawkins' character, Kevin Atwater. You know, this unit, we're going after a drug kingpin and trying to take him down. And LaRoyce's character is at the center of it, and he has to strong decisions he has to make between, you know, what's right and doing the right thing to go after to, you know, to solve this case. And also, he has a community that's in his heart, and, you know, maybe there's a little love in here. I don't know, but we'll
I bet there is. I'm gonna bet there is a little love
there
in the air.
And then the winter finale is dealing with Antonio and you know, the unfortunate hole that he has dug himself into and how it affects the team. And, you know, is he going to be able to get out of this hole?
Oh, nice. Will there be some love in the air in that episode? Maybe.
No,
don't tell me.
You might want to have surprised. Some love in the air.
We need some love in the air. All right. We'll talk more with John in just a little bit.
We are talking NBC drama Chicago PD and Detective Antonio Dawson. John Seda is with us. Now, you were a pretty decent boxer, weren't you?
You know, I was an amateur boxer, so, you know, I don't know how well the competition was, but, you know, it was something I really loved to do.
And you made your screen debut as a fighter in Gladiator?
That's right. Wow. Shot here in Chicago.
Yeah?
Yeah, my first film here in Chicago.
Very nice. What do you remember from that experience?
I remember it was cold.
Yeah.
It was so cold. I remember it was my first taste of how cold it is in Chicago, because I remember I was doing a scene and it was just so cold. They had to bring heat pads and put them on my face because they couldn't understand what I was trying to say. Everything was freezing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was an amazing time.
Yeah.
And you got to be J-Lo's love interest.
That's right.
Selena.
Movie Selena. Yeah, that was a pretty impactful movie. That was an incredible time.
Yeah.
Was she nice to you?
Oh, she was great. She was great. Yeah, we had a great time. You know, that's before she was J-Lo. That's when she was still Jenny on the Block.
Yeah, right. And you just won an award recently. Tell us about that. Was it recent? Honored by the Chicago's National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture.
That was an incredible honor. I mean, you know, just, I think about all the people that had been there before, and like Rita Moreno and...
Love her.
You know, and Lin-Manuel in recent times. So, it's an incredible honor. You know, I'm proud to be doing what I'm doing and represent my Latino people as best as I can. So that was an incredible honor. They do a great job there at the museum. If you haven't gone, you should go check out
the museum. It's worth saying. Yeah. Do you remember as a child when you realized this was going to be your life's work, that acting would be the direction you'd take?
You know what? I didn't grow up wanting to be an actor.
No?
It was no one in my family before me was an actor. I grew up sports minded and got into boxing after high school, and I thought boxing was, you know, I always had a dream that I was going to make it somehow. And,
yeah.
But I always thought it was going to be through sports and boxing. I thought, okay, maybe I'm going to climb the ladder and, always had dreams of being a champion, and the acting kind of came out of nowhere. So, you know, I'm really thankful for it. It served me well, and I get the opportunity, and have had the opportunity, to portray a boxer in a film and have that feeling and bring those emotions to life. So, it's a different path, not the one that I had, you know, was looking to go down, but it's a great opportunity that came to me, and I'm really blessed.
How often do you get recognized in the city? A lot. Huh?
I bet
do
all
you
the
love
time,
it?
Right?
Yeah, it's great. You know what I mean? Hey, if nobody recognizes you, something's not going right. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I'll be walking down the street and someone will drive by and go, "Hey, yo, Antonio, hey, I'm, hey, how you doing?"
So is that a compliment or not when they know you more by your character name than by your own name? How do you feel when people yell out the character name instead of your name, John?
Well, I'd say it's a compliment, because you have brought life to that character, and people, you know, if they see you as that character, then, like I said, that's, you're doing a good job.
Sure.
You're making it believable. So far it's been really good. You know, no one's yelled, "Hey, jack off." So
that's
you're
a positive.
Doing something right.
Good. Good for you. All right, this is a dumb question, but it's time for a dumb question. Because you're an actor and because you're a boxer, which boxer from movie or TV history would you most like to be in the ring with?
Ooh, would I most like to be in a ring with?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'd go Sylvester Stallone now, because you could probably beat him.
Modern day Sylvester Stallone.
You know, he still packs a punch, man. I don't know if I'd want to get in there with him. Carl Weathers, it's a big guy.
Yeah. Jake LaMotta.
You know what? I'd have to go. How about Vinny Pazienza?
Now, who is that?
Why the Tasmanian Devil, Vinny Pazienza.
Interesting.
That'd be fun.
You'd
or
like that?
Boom Boom Mancini.
Ray Boom,
oh, yeah.
Ray
Boom Boom Mancini. And I only say that because it's a fantasy.
Right. Right.
Because those guys, they would take me out. They would knock me out. But those are some of my favorite fighters going up. You know, Boom Boom Mancini was just...
He was good, wasn't he?
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of personality.
So much. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a great movie. I'd love to play him in a movie.
Oh!
You'd be good. Great. I love Oscar De La Hoya, and I love Lennox Lewis.
No, those are good fighters.
I love boxing. I really do.
Yeah. Those good fighters. We got a good one coming up, too. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, the heavyweights, coming up.
It's tough watching the heavyweights. I know that's where all the excitement is.
Not as many punches. Harder punches.
But when they land.
Oh, yeah. Right, right. Very, very tough. Talk about this for a little bit. Dick Wolf, your boss, has three shows right now going in Chicago, which we love. This is nothing but good news for Chicago. You've talked to him. You've met him, obviously, right? What was the thought process there? Did he come up with one saying we could build one after another after another, or did it just fall into place that way?
Well, you know, I go back to the mid-90s with Dick Wolf on his first crossover that he did when I was on a show called Homicide.
Oh, yeah.
And I crossed over, Richard Belzer and myself were on Homicide, and we crossed over we went to New York to Law and Order. When Jerry Auerbach was there, and Peter Murchison was also there.
Oh,
as well.
Really? From Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yeah, yeah. So
who in Pee-wee's Playhouse?
I can't remember her character's name, but that's
not
the first
Dee-Dee.
Time. No, not Dee Dee. I can't remember the character's name, but she was a regular on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I love that.
So
that,
you know, we go back, and you know, this is just something that I think he, you know, Dick Wolf is amazing. He's always thinking ahead of everybody else, and you know, I don't know if he saw all three shows at once or it came to him one by one. That's something you'd have to ask him.
Yeah,
but you know, it's incredible and amazing to be a part of. And you know, I remember when they came to me and you know, told me, hey, there's a show, Chicago Fire. Do you want to come on? Monica Raymond was on the show at the time, and you know, I'd come on as her brother Antonio.
Yeah,
and this is like it was 2012. So here we are, what, 6-7 years later, we're still here, and you know, that's the magic of Dick Wolf, you know, and you know, he saw Chicago as a great place to really, you know, be the center of so many things that go on here and from, you know, all the different coasts and you know, all the different states, everything. Chicago's like that center focal point.
The hub.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it just it made sense, you know. And these are people that do these, you know, that live these lives every day. You know, from Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, you know, Chicago PD.
You need a Chicago radio.
Yeah,
we
Chicago
were pitching
radio.
LaRoyce that last time he was up. Come on.
Yeah,
see what you can do.
He should be the MC or the DJ on it. But yeah, so I mean, it's amazing and how he puts it together and his team, and they're just you know, it's just it really
good.
Is great.
I'm glad it's been a pleasant experience for you. We're proud of you. And we're happy for you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Looking forward to tonight's episode, NBC, and the winter finale. Right, that's coming
right.
up.
Winter finale.
And then you get a nice little break for the holidays. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, then we come back January 9th with all new episodes.
Excellent. I love when they bleed over the Med, the police, and the fire. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, because it happens, right? When something happens out, you hear the
they're
ambulance
all
coming,
together.
The fire is coming, the police are coming, they're all there together.
Yep.
Great to meet you. John Seda.
That's right.
That's how you say it.
That's what Emma says. So.
Yes,
must be
right.
true. Maybe you were saying it wrong, John. Exactly. That's how you got to say it from now on.
I'm glad I was saying it right.
Thanks,
great
John.
To meet you.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow. It's all coming from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN. Oh, my God. It's almost my favorite day of the year, which is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Wendy, it's,
I love
coming
it.
Coming up in a week.
You're not a fan of Thanksgiving.
No, I'm not.
What is wrong with you?
I'm not. Well,
Dane Neal is
here to sort things out.
Yes.
Dane, right? Well, good thing we've got Bill is laying down on a chaise lounge, right?
Yes.
We've asked him a few just basic questions about his mother to kind of break the ice,
that's
right?
To be expected,
and,
sure.
And so it is Thanksgiving, and this is one of those, it's kind of a crazy holiday where, you know, there's not a whole gift-giving element. We had talked
about
it.
That's what's so nice. Best day of the year. You are together with your family.
I think you should get gifts. If you're going to spend time with your family, they should get you something nice.
Well, part of what we're looking at today is, you know, it is a huge holiday. It's got historical significance, and you got the pilgrims and the Horn of Plenty and a lot of great oil paintings.
Yeah.
You know, and it's observed in so many different ways. But there is, I think, a growing kind of groundswell of people that are dissatisfied.
Yeah. What?
Dane, I love pilgrims. Don't get me wrong.
You're the biggest pilgrim fan I know.
You can't find a bigger pilgrim fan.
Right.
People are starting to dislike it, or there are people that ought to, like, Bill, you've never really
never liked it. From day one.
Well, I say that people are looking
from
for...
From the minute I was born, Wendy.
I don't like the
Thanksgiving.
They spanked me, and I said, it's better than Thanksgiving. Keep spanking me.
What were his first words? Mom, Dad? No, it was like, no Thanksgiving.
Right.
I think it's because there are so many more alternatives. Just like, you know, when we were growing up, there was just a few channels, and so you tolerated shows you didn't like. You didn't know you didn't like them because it was all that was on. It was better than nothing. And now we're living in a day and age where there are so many alternatives to the Thanksgiving experience, the traditional, you know, get in a car, drive somewhere, sit around for a long time. Maybe an uncle, a family member gets drunk, says some inappropriate things. You watch some football, right? You eat two full meals. You feel kind of sick and sleepy, and then you go home. And now there's so many other ways to enjoy the day.
Name one.
Right. Doing anything else than what Dane just described.
I mean, that's in the rule book of like, hey, so how am I going to put a Thanksgiving together? It's like, okay, you get one of these, a couple of these people.
Yeah.
And that's the way you do it. Remember, there used to be Tumbleweeds. It was a ghost town. You know, there may be the local convenience store would be open, but pretty much everything else was closed.
And now there's a lot of options.
Now there's absolutely every single option. Yeah. So if you're thinking to yourself, what else would I like to do? You still want to kind of eat, right? Maybe that's the way to participate in Thanksgiving is you get out there and you have a meal. Maybe you hang out with some people that you like, and now you can do everything. If you're jonesing for the 11 herbs and spices, right, it's there for you. The chalupas in plenty, right?
I love chalupas.
And so you've got all those options. So, you know, because the Thanksgiving food, here it is. Everybody talks about, and we talked about the pumpkin spice, right? How it got inserted into the psyche and sort of the historical team photo.
Society has taught us we must love all things pumpkin spice.
You wonder how insidious, right? How do you do that? You build it into something that feels traditional.
I saw Kellogg's cornflakes. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, I saw it.
They make pumpkin
spice. Special K, I think. It's Special K pumpkin spice.
There's several. Well, then there's more than one, because the one I saw was Frosted Flakes. So it was pumpkin spice.
If people like to share things they love with things they love. They dog treats, right? Pumpkin spice dog treats.
I know.
Right?
Fluffy's stupid.
Fluffy's going to love it, too. Yeah. But when you think about the foods of Thanksgiving, and Bill, I know you're not a fan, and so I think you could be a leader here in the movement, is the foods are... It's so weird because you think, oh, I really like that. You know, whether it's green bean casserole, whether it's the yams, whether it's the turkey.
Stuffing.
But then why, you know.
Why would you eat it all the time?
Why isn't there a random May when you're thinking, let's just have that?
Right.
You don't do it. So is it the food that you like or dislike, or is it kind of that romantic attachment with the whole, if you're a kid, the fact that you don't have school that day or probably the next?
Right.
Or is it just, you know, the positive maybe memories or situations that you attribute to the situation, including the food?
All good questions, Dane.
I think it's tradition. I like Thanksgiving, and I host it because then I can control the menu, which is what I like. And I love it because my in-laws and my family come together, and it just makes me feel very nostalgic and comforted and warm.
When we put on our objective hats, Wendy, and we think like, well, what are the things that maybe Bill or other people don't like about it? Some is the work, right?
Right.
It's a lot of work to put this on. You know this as a host. You know it's a bunch of work. And so you think maybe it's the opportunity to have someone else do it, where you can go to a restaurant. I know, Bill, you guys do...
Last several years, we've gone to restaurants, and it's made it so much better. So much.
Is it the fact that people are doing all of the kind of stuff that's a pain and then it's a drag? Or are you having a completely different cuisine? Because Chinatown is a place that's a great option, and there's a bunch of different things.
The last few years, we've gone to Villari, which is just a couple of blocks away from here. It's jam-packed to the rafters. Like, when we first decided we were going to go there, I went, this place is going to be a ghost town. It's Thanksgiving. Who's going to come out? Every table is filled to the brim. Nobody's having Thanksgiving, the traditional turkey dinner. Nobody is. They offer it to you. They have it there. But it's everybody's going, no, that's
the
last thing we want. Yeah.
Well, see, that's a good point. They'll have options. So let's say you have a group here. Not everybody agrees to be bah humbug when it comes to Thanksgiving. They'll have options for those people so they can have their turkey. But everybody doesn't have to feel obligated to do it. And, you know, I mentioned the KFC and the chalupa, you know, things that are handed to you wrapped in paper or in a paper bag.
Yes.
But there's great restaurants like River Roast where they'll have prime rib. You can have salmon. You can have ham. You can have all those kind of things. And you're doing it in a real upscale restaurant setting,
right,
as opposed to just, hey, I'd like to find something that's open. So that's an option too. There are places, when I say everything's open,
you're gonna find a place. Whatever your food liking is on Thanksgiving, you'll find a place. All right, we'll pick this up in just a little bit. Dane Neal is here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 gets that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dane Neal is here, and we're discussing Thanksgiving. For some, the happiest day of the year. For others, the 365th happiest day of the year.
If you zoom in on, I think probably 8 out of 10 of the pilgrims, if you really look closely, and back then you'll remember nobody smiled. You know, the photographs.
You weren't allowed to smile back then.
Yeah, they were hostile witnesses and whatever. And,
right.
So they didn't like it either, right? But it was either that or dirt, and so you just ate what you had to have. And so when you think about the turkey side of it, if you take that out, because how often do we have turkey when it's not Thanksgiving? And the answer is never. So you look at some of the sides, and I think people have, again, that kind of romantic attachment to the sides. And so maybe you could switch out the meat, maybe have some brisket or some meatloaf or some lamb or some other things if turkey isn't your thing.
Yes.
But you've got these sides that seem to be essential in that team photo, the cream spinach, the candy.
And you're calling these romantic, Dane. Am I hearing this right?
Well, some
is
reason.
Is cream spinach romantic?
Well, when you can name them, you name the thing, green bean casserole, and if Wendy says, you know, if she like she's remembering some, you know, kind of really wonderful.
We always
situation.
Had it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so
I don't even like it.
No one does.
Green bean casserole? Yes. Yeah.
Wait,
most of the people.
She said no one likes it. Yeah. I doesn't even like it. When you agreed with her, she said, what are you talking about?
No, I said I didn't even like it, but I only make it every year because my sister likes it, my husband likes it.
Yeah.
There are people that's what they want.
I absolutely like it.
Do you? Yeah.
I do, but I don't know exactly why, because I'll never find myself, like I said, in random April or May saying like,
oh, do I have a taste for that now?
Hey, do you got the recipe for that green bean salad? You know what I mean? So you think about it, it's, you know, as far as the sides, but they make up that whole thing too. People remember all those things, and I think people kind of stake out their territory on what they're going to make.
The three bean salad vendor at Wrigley Field makes less money, Dane, than any other vendor at the whole park.
And then,
did you know that?
Well, mashed potatoes and gravy, I think that's our breakout star, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't that the one that's kind of just...
Stuffing's the star.
Well, I mean, as far as... You know, that has kind of broken away from just that whole...
Oh, I see what you're
thing.
Saying. Yeah,
you can... Stuffing, for sure. We like stuffing
in
all of its kind of forms. And so one of the things we wanted to do is kind of examine this phenomenon. Like, why is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about it that we know we eat it because it's traditional, because we've been conditioned to do it, but what can be done on the science side?
Good question,
to go
Dane.
Ahead
Who
and,
can we ask? If only we had a food scientist.
If people are adverse to the foods, maybe to Thanksgiving, what can be done to enhance and make them more appealing? And Aaron Fox is an amazing food scientist. You know, he's got a lab coat on right now.
Oh.
He's probably holding a beaker, and he is on the show. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So
how you doing?
Aaron Fox is a food scientist, and of course you've, you know, grown up in a traditional American situation where you've had, you know, Thanksgiving. You've had it, you know, hoisted upon you, and you've participated in it. You're not the hugest fan, right, of the food side of the holiday?
No, you're right. I've never been the biggest fan of, you know, green bean casserole, sweet potatoes. Even growing up, I didn't even like turkey that much.
So if everyone feels that way, and I shouldn't say everyone, but a great amount of people feel that way, why the need to keep bringing it out every year? We were told early on, well, that's what they had at the first Thanksgiving, but then research shows that's not what they had at the first Thanksgiving.
They were eating wombats or something.
Right. Right. So how come, Aaron? What's up with that?
Well, I mean, tradition rules, you know, all over, you know, whatever we've always done. But, you know, maybe, you know, I wish I knew the answer. That'd be more for a historian. But, you know, I have a theory. Maybe it's an ode to Ben Franklin, who wanted to make the national bird the turkey. And they compromised. Let's make the bald eagle, but we eat turkey every year on Thanksgiving.
Thank goodness it wasn't the other way around. We'd all be eating eagle every Thanksgiving. That'd be horrible.
The last time that we... Yeah, wow.
I mean, have you ever eaten eagle?
A couple of times.
Eagle's
not pleasant.
Like when done right.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Right. Sometimes.
Well, Aaron, you think about this, and you got the sides, and the last time that we talked to you, we talked pumpkin spice, a thing that maybe 10 years ago didn't exist at all, and now it's as traditional as it can possibly be. Is there maybe something that can be done on the science side or the enhancement side or the adjustment side in the food world that can either take the turkey, make it more appealing so that it can have, you know, sit on some dinner tables outside of just that weekend, or some of the sides that you see maybe trending that could break into that team photo of sides like the ones we talked about, you know, green bean salad and the others?
Well, yeah, so and traditional foods are always evolving. You know, we might not have a reference to 100, 200 years ago because we weren't there, but, you know, not to bring up other holidays, but, you know, when was the last time you had figgy pudding or sugar plums? You know, I wonder what they ate back then. I guess the only thing that really has steak consistent is the turkey. So that's the one tradition we're really hanging on to as far as food goes. But we are, it's still evolving even as is. So it might still be turkey, but it seems every year there's this new way to cook it or new way to prepare it. I know brining has been very popular lately. I'm going to brine my turkey and smoke it this year. Last year I fried it. And, you know, we've come a long way from just roasting in the oven. As far as, you know, what could be next, that's anybody's guess. You know, maybe in the future we'll be eating turkey ceviche, or maybe the juice movement gains more momentum in you know, the mainstream. We could have turkey juice.
Oh. I mean, as you're in there developing different recipes for all different kinds of things, I think the turkey, the way that you did it was you kind of just implied that it's healthier, right? And it was a like a turkey burger. No one eats a turkey burger because they want one or because it tastes good. It's because right. maybe they feel a little better about themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all, a lot of that is just the way it's marketed, right? I mean, I actually learned this whenever I found out I had a high cholesterol. I was looking around for, I'll get turkey bacon instead of regular bacon. You know, turkey bacon has just as much cholesterol as regular bacon. Do you know that? I mean, I didn't know that. And so, you know, I learned a lot. You know, maybe it has less saturated fat, but it's all in marketing and the way it's presented to everybody, not so much what it actually is.
Why wouldn't you just go regular if those stats are true? And why would you tell us?
Because nobody knows that. You think turkey bacon and turkey sausage is better for you.
You think if it tastes bad, it must be good for you, right? There's that connection.
The turkey lobby is very, very strong, guys. They've been listening, too.
No, they're not happy with
this. I love turkey. I'm going to keep eating it.
Yeah. And Aaron, I know this is a little out of your league, but I'm curious your thoughts on this. Most people usually have dinner at 6:30, 7:30, but on Thanksgiving, people are having dinner at noon and 1 o'clock.
Because it's an all-day thing.
I haven't had lunch yet at 1 o'clock.
We play animal bingo when we're finished, so we need some time to play.
Anytime you have, you know, a lot of family around, you have a span of wide generations. I'd say younger people would generally eat dinner later, and older people would eat dinner earlier.
Right.
And so instead of compromise on average in the middle, they all agreed, let's all have it at an obscure time. let's all have dinner when we don't want it to be.
That makes it fun for everyone, doesn't it? Good.
I wanted to ask you on the generational side, because to let the listeners know, you guys just got married, you know, maybe about a year or so ago. And so it's the kind of thing where you're getting to kind of, you know, form and shape your holidays and how your Thanksgiving is going to be. And you said you weren't a huge fan of it in its traditional sense. So what kind of changes have you guys made? And then on the science side, where you're always adjusting things, what kind of tweaks have you made to maybe the experience or maybe some of the things that you guys are making for Thanksgiving?
At our house, you know, as far as the changes go, you know, ours are very small. I guess we're still bought into the tradition. You know, again, I'm not big on the food. We're just kind of holding on to that. But, you know, little by little, I'm changing it myself in our own family traditions. So maybe one year soon we'll have turducken. I would like to play around with meat glue at some point. Being a food scientist, I feel like I should.
What would you say that again?
What is that?
They call it meat glue. I promise I wouldn't bring this up, but anytime there's some sort of oddity in the food world, the McRib is always brought up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's McRib season. Yeah. Just had one yesterday.
Ooh. So you find this enzyme, and it's all natural, but you add it to ground up meat, and it sort of makes the meat cohesive and glues back together. That's how they make the McRib. That's why it's in the rib shape.
Yeah.
Instead of like a pad, they put it in this mold and they press it.
So I think that's it, Bill. You just make turkey fun. You make it less underwhelming. You blend it up. You add some of this meat glue that Aaron's got a big jug
shape
of.
Shape it like a turkey.
And you make it in whatever shape you want. Your kid's favorite cartoon character, you name it.
And Homer Simpson.
That would be great. And Elmer's makes this meat glue, Aaron. I can get this at Osco.
You'll probably have to order it online.
All right, I'll get it online. All right.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. We're looking forward to Thanksgiving with you.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Aaron. Leave Aaron the McRib Fox. Alone.
Yeah, no.
I didn't really eat it, but my sons McRib. Like it.
Yeah, yeah.
The first couple are pretty
it's
good.
It's shaped like real ribs.
I know, but there's no bones in it.
No. Dane, thank you. I think we've solved a lot of problems. Did we solve any? I think we did.
I think we approached the problems.
Yeah, we approached them.
We pawed at them.
Right, and then ran away like little girls. On the Road with Dane Neal. Lovable little girls. On the Road with Dane Neal airs Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on WGN Radio. Are you on the Facebook, Dane?
Sure. Yeah. I think so. I'm not a great Facebooker.
You know, the Road with Dane on Facebook. He's on Twitter. He's on Etch-A-Sketch. You can't miss him. Thank you, Dane.
We'll see you Saturday.
Great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I cannot stop watching the footage of the carnage in California with these fires.
Gut-wrenching.
And we found out this morning that someone we know and love has been affected, and it is Ed Farmer from the Chicago White Sox. How are you, friend?
Wendy, good. Bill, good. Very fortunate to make it out. Fire was right at our front door. I mean, I didn't know it. We were watching, you know, the peripheral to some extent, but the fire was basically in front of us, going by about a mile away or a mile and a half away. It went all the way into Malibu. It destroyed Malibu, California. And I told my wife and daughter, I said, Barbara, I'm worried about the cloud to our right, that small cloud over there that's getting a little larger. And I didn't think anything of it. That was about 12:30 in the afternoon on Friday, and all of a sudden at 1:15, the power went out in our house. I said, we need to get out of here right now.
Were you getting word from anyone to evacuate? Nobody.
Oh, I'm sure they did. We were paying attention to it, but they never really directed it. I have to say this right now. The department, the police department, we talk about it all the time. These guys and girls, they did an unbelievable job saving lives here. Unbelievable. We got out of here. Fire captain, when I opened the garage door, my daughter disconnected. You know, it was an automatic door, so it wasn't working. We didn't have any electricity, so she went up and pulled a cord on it. I lifted the door, and the fire captain was standing 1 foot from me. And he goes, I thought everybody was out. I said, down out. I said, where's the fire? He goes, it's right over your head.
Oh, my God.
About 30 feet right up where I had. So Ed, they pulled out the two cars.
So, thankfully, you know, the power was disconnected where you could open the garage door and get the cars out. Now, this has how long have you been out in California?
I moved to California when I was 18.
So you've been out there
considerably older now.
Quite some time.
Almost 20 years out there then, Ed.
I lived in Santa Monica before I lived out here. I lived in Santa Monica for 27 years.
And have you ever seen anything to this extent before?
I've never seen anything like this before in my life. Oh. Not the devastation that we have. You know, usually you see a fire burning, and there's a swath of about, a mile or a mile and a half of things that have ignited. And when we drove back to the house over the weekend, I'd never seen this devastation. It goes for miles. I mean, our view is 40 miles. And I'm probably unsure that I can see 40 miles, but I know I can see 25 miles. John Garland was about 15 from me, and I called him. And he goes, how are you doing? Former Sox pitcher and also All-Star World Series winner. And he goes, I can see your house. And I said, how is it over there? He goes, it's just as bad where you are. Oh. It was unbelievable. It looks like a chessboard of black and tan where everything before was green. There's no greenery here. There's none whatsoever. Not within 5 to 15 miles of our house. It's all gone.
Oh. Ed, I was telling Wendy, in one of the news footage reports that I was watching, there were cars that were just yards away from the fire. They're driving down a highway, and the fire is right there. And all the cars are white. And it didn't occur to me what was causing that, but it's the ash from the fire that's falling on the cars.
Absolutely,
right?
Bill. Yeah, Bill, that's exactly right. We have a red and a black car. And when we drove out through the gate on Malibu Canyon Road, we couldn't see. And the police directed us to the 101 freeway, which was closed. And for one of the few times in my life, I was going to get pulled over for speeding. And we just hit the gas and we got on the 101 and couldn't see, basically. But the officer said, there's nobody on the roadway. You're going to be driving between flames. We went up the hill, and about three quarters of the way up the hill, blue skies, and like nothing had happened below us. And we stayed up there in downtown Calabasas overnight on Friday and Saturday and made it home.
Did you have to sleep in your car at one point? Because you're evacuated. I'm sure all the hotels were filled.
No, Wendy, they were so filled. We called everywhere. They were filled all the way to Los Angeles Airport, and we couldn't get out to get to Los Angeles Airport. So we have a couple of sports cars, and one of them is very small for me, and I drove that, and I didn't sleep much on Friday night, but my lower torso was outside the door, and my upper body, my upper torso was inside. Inside, but it still was cold. I still have a cold from that that little sleeping that I took. If it was 10 minutes, it was a lot, yeah.
Ed, explain this to me, because as I'm watching the footage, you've got no limit to the amount of people who, as they're driving through this carnage, they're holding their phones up and they're recording it. All my thought would be on getting out of there as quickly and safely, but these people have the wherewithal to somehow videotape it all on their cameras. Did that occur to you to do, or were you just
that
thinking?
That never occurred to me because that fire right on my backside.
Yeah.
And I have a Bluetooth in the car, so I don't use my phone by my ear. I'll talk on the radio or through the radio, but I'm not taking pictures while I'm driving. Right. I go too fast also.
Yeah.
I get it.
You know, it's going to be a blur of a picture usually, yeah.
Sure.
I was watching the news, I think it was last night, where the flames were just licking at the highway and cars had to kind of swerve out of the way to continue on their journey. Did you have fire on both sides when you were
on the... I did. I had fire on both sides going up. The telephone pole entering the 101 freeway was across the entrance ramp. It was broken in half.
Oh, my.
And somehow my wife and I negotiated through that. With the help of a police officer, the county sheriff, they did a great job. They really did. The fire department, I mean, we don't take our guys for granted in Chicago ever or anywhere.
Right.
But these guys us firefighters, they know what they're doing. Get out of their way and let them work. And I did that.
Ed, are you...
It was just so knowledgeable.
Are you thinking at any point as you're driving through this and there's fire on your left and there's fire on your right and you're looking ahead and there's smoke and fire, are you thinking this could potentially be the end of me? Is that thought coming to your mind?
When I exited the house, I thought that. When I left the house and he said, you're going to have to go and go fast.
Yeah.
It was a few years ago. I was on my way to Notre Dame and I was with Jim Michael from Titleist and Ken Sand. And we were driving to Notre Dame, and a car flipped over about 100 yards in front of us. And it rolled onto its roof. And I pulled over as quick as I could, but I was going fast anyway. Got out of the car, and all three of us went over to this. And there was this car that was upside down. And this lady was screaming, and her baby was in the back seat. And I assumed that Jim Michael and Ken Sands had a hold of the car. And I crawled through the back window and saved her daughter, who was 6 months old, 4 months old, just a baby, and gave her the child. And I said, there's your baby. And I looked back in the car, slid down the embankment in Indiana, and didn't think much of that. And it was reminiscent of what happened on Friday when we left our house.
Yeah.
I never thought of it past that point. But when I look back on it with the flames right over our head,
yeah,
we're lucky we got out. Very fortunate to get out.
Okay, so you did get out. You have since returned home. What's the damage? Did you have any damage to your home?
No. What happened was there was a fellow from the county sheriff who was a big baseball fan. And he heard my voice and came over. And he goes, you're not Ed Farmer, are you? I am. I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Chicago. I said, okay. And he goes, you do the White Sox games? I said, I do. He goes, what are you doing up here? I said, well, you can see we're evacuated from our house. And I said, I'm not sure it's still standing. He goes, what's the address? He took down the address. He said, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Came back. That was later on Friday. Came right back. He goes, your house is still standing. It would score. Nothing scorched it.
Mm.
So I knew that the house was okay. But I was on pins and needles waiting because I didn't know where we were going to go. It goes through your mind. Did I pack enough stuff? I took a pair of pants, a shirt, and that was about it. And we're lucky we got out. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but everybody at WGN Radio Concerned were calling me, starting with Todd Manley. Well, Manley and I had this thing going. I was coming in Friday. I was going to speak to everybody at WGN Radio for the job they did for Darren and me and the White Sox on the radio this year. And I was coming in to do that. But from Darren and myself and everybody connected from the White Sox, we couldn't be more happy to be on WGN Radio. Do you want to talk about some professionals? You guys are tremendous.
That's so nice of you to say, Ed. We feel the same about you. Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad the White Sox are finally getting some attention in this city. That's what I'm excited about. And maybe they'll start winning.
Better Wednesday, we're going to get a lot more attention. Hopefully, it'll be this year coming up.
I know. It'll happen.
We stretch out with GM so far. We reach people that probably never heard us before or never really thought much about, hey, we can listen to the White Sox on GM radio. And that's now the turnabout for us. It's a great experience we have and a great liaison. It's family now with GM and the White Sox, and that's what counts.
Good.
Well, we love you to death, and we're glad you're okay. He is Ed Farmer. You know, now that we have you, we keep forgetting to ask you about this. What is the donut connection that every time we see you, you offer us a donut? You always have donuts in your car or on your person. Please explain.
I don't have always in my car, but Paul Jepson, a friend of mine, they have Kirsten's Bakery out in Burr Ridge, and I stopped there, and these are just great people. They also make a key lime pie out there, and right off County Line Road, and when I'm driving down 55, I pull off the County Line Road and go in and get them. That's why I have those with me.
And what's the name of the bakery? Because I'm going to pick Bill up a key lime pie.
Oh, that'd be great.
They're going to have it for Thanksgiving. Kirsten's Bakery. It's when you get off the County Line Road going south, at the first light, make a left, and it's in a little strip shopping mall there on the left, about 25 feet from the entrance into that little mall.
I know where that mall is.
That sounds so good.
Near Lifetime.
Kirsten's Bakery. Okay. Now I'm hungry. You guys have been.
Ed, one quick question, one baseball-related question. What is Santa Claus going to bring the White Sox this holiday season?
A lot of, I would hope, a lot of knowledge on how to play the game correctly.
That'd be nice. That would be nice. Yes. Maybe something shaped like Bryce Harper, maybe?
I'm sure they're I think everybody talks to them, Machado as well.
Sure.
And I'm sure you're going to talk to them. You'll listen to what they have to say. Rick Annie Williams and Rick Hahn do a great job for us in that capacity. And Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, I remember when Carlton Fisk was going to be a free agent from the Boston Red Sox. And we were saying, the White Sox, and I was playing for the Sox. I go, we're going to talk to this guy. I don't think so. Next thing I know, he was catching me.
Yep.
So we don't know, but, everybody connected with this. And everybody here in California, keep them in your prayers because Thanksgiving, for a lot of people, as first certainly for the farmer family, takes on a different note this year. We're thankful for our lives, but we're also thankful for our neighbors and everybody else who came through this unscathed. And certainly feel sorry for the ones that didn't make it or the ones that are displaced right now, because we care about those people as well.
And still people missing. It's really sad.
Yes, there are.
We are so glad
you're have internet or TV either yet. I don't have that yet, but I can live without that.
Yep.
The small price, to pay for your your safety. Well, perfect. We're glad you're okay. We love you, Ed.
Thanks, Wendy. I appreciate it, Bill. You guys do a great job, and thanks for having me.
You're the best, Ed. Have a great holiday season.
Talk
to you soon.
God bless you all. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. The great Ed Farmer.
I love him so much.
He's a nice man. All right, a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.
I think you have something to do.
I do, Wendy. Would you give me 5 seconds?
I give you, a few things to do throughout the show.
It's too many.
I know I have ADHD. You might have it.
I have the opposite of it.
What is
I don't know what the opposite of it is, but that's what I have.
No attention disorder?
No attention. Absolutely. Right. Right. Visit our telethon coming
MDD.
Soon. Yeah.
No. NAD.
Yeah, that's
no
what
attention
I have.
Disorder.
Yeah. All right. I'm the poster boy for that.
You got NAD.
Yes, I do.
We are going to take a break momentarily. Just want to mention Steve Bertrand is not here today. John Hansen will be filling in for the business lunch.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all right here on WGN Radio.